Welcome to Zikhu Daf Sin Mani Mem Rabbi Ram Goldari, and today Masechus Baba Kama, Daf Mem Beis, the fourth parak, Shor Shenagach. The fourth parak has been generously sponsored with Zechun Nishmas, Rosh Hadvor Bas Aharon HaKohen Al HaSham. May your neshama have an aliyah. So the three tops are going to focus on, number one, Rabbi Yosi HaGalili Darshan's Baal HaShor Naki to teach Naki Midmei Vrados. He is absolved from paying for offspring lost when his ox attacked a pregnant woman. Rabbi Kiva has said this law is already known from the pasuk of Mevrados, ki yinatsu anashim, if men shall fight, which implies anashim v'lo shvarim, men and not oxen. The Gemara seeks an answer to this challenge, and eventually Abai and Rava answer that if not for Rabbi Yossi's drasha, the word anashim could have been darshan as follows, anashim ein asum b'isha yanshu, regarding men, when there's no death of the woman, they are punished by paying for the lost fetus, yesh asum b'isha lo yanshu, but if there is a death of the woman, they are not punished monetarily, because killing her incurs the death penalty, which exempts all monetary payments, because of kamlei b'derabim minei. But not regarding oxen, where even if there is a death, its owner is still punished monetarily by paying for the lost fetus. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi's drasha is necessary to teach that he does not pay. Rav Adar Bar Ava disagrees with Abai and Rav about the laws of kamlei b'derabim minei and adjusts their explanation accordingly. Point number two, in another brisa, Rabbi Kiva darshan's Baal HaShor Naki to teach Naki min me'evet. He is absolved from payment of 30 shkalim for his ox's killing a slave. The Gemara asks that Rabbi Kiva should ask himself the same challenge he posed to Rabbi Eliezer regarding Chatzi Kofra on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, that since a tum only pays from its body, the slave's owner cannot collect payment since this ox is killed and Aser Bahana. After two answers are rejected, Rabbi answers that without the pasuk, one would think, Hoylo Machmorina be'eved Yosem ben Chorin, since I'm more machmir regarding a killed slave than regarding a killed freeman, in that Kofra for a freeman worth a sella would be a mere sella, whereas payment for a killed slave is invariably 30 shkalim, so one would think that even a tum pays these 30 shkalim, ma'aliyah, from his choice property and not from the ox. Therefore, a pasuk is needed to absolve the owner from paying. A brisa is brought in support of Rabba's explanation. And point number three was taught in a brisa. The pasuk says, Vehemis ish o isha, and it killed a man or woman, indicating a comparison between the two. Rabbi Akiva explains that since we already know from elsewhere that kofar is paid for killing a woman, the pasuk is teaching ma'ish nezakav liyorshav, just as regarding a man, his damage payments are given to his heirs if he dies before they're paid, af isha nezakei liyorshav, so too regarding a woman, her damage payments are given to her heirs, not her husband. The Gemara objects that Rabbi Kiva holds a husband does inherit his wife, so why would he not inherit her damages as well? Reish Lakish explained that Rabbi Kiva referred specifically to kofar, which is only paid after her death. Therefore, it's roi, a mere potential asset, vein abal notab roi kabe mechuzchak, and the husband does not take in inheritance the potential assets of his wife's estate as he does from her possessed assets. The Gemara provides the source that kofar is not paid until actual death, and not as soon as the victim is assessed that he'll die. So once again, the 3 points are number one, Rabbi Yossi HaGalili Darshan's Baal HaShor Naki to teach Naki Midvei Vrados. He's absolved from paying for offspring loss when his ox attacked a pregnant woman. Rabbi Kiva says that this law is already known from the pasuk of Mevrados, ki yinatsu anashim, if men shall fight, which implies anashim v'lo shvarim, men and not oxen. The Gemara seeks an answer to this challenge, and eventually Abai and Rava answer that if not for Rabbi Yossi's drasha, the word anashim could have been darshan as follows, anashim ein asum b'isha yanshu, regarding men, when there's no death of the woman, they are punished by paying for the lost fetus, yesh asum b'isha lo yanshu, but if there is a death of the woman, they are not punished monetarily, because killing her incurs the death penalty, which exempts all monetary payments, because of kamlei b'derabim minei. But not regarding oxen, where even if there is a death, its owner is still punished monetarily by paying for the lost fetus. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi's drasha is necessary to teach that he does not pay. Rav Adar Bar Ava disagrees with Abai and Rav about the laws of kamlei b'derabim minei and adjusts their explanation accordingly. Point number two, in another brisa, Rabbi Kiva darshan's Baal HaShor Naki to teach Naki min me'evet. He is absolved from payment of 30 shkalim for his ox's killing a slave. The Gemara asks that Rabbi Kiva should ask himself the same challenge he posed to Rabbi Eliezer regarding Chatzi Kofra on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, that since a tum only pays from its body, the slave's owner cannot collect payment since this ox is killed and Aser Bahana. After two answers are rejected, Rabbi answers that without the pasuk, one would think, Hoylo Machmorina be'eved Yosem ben Chorin, since I'm more machmir regarding a killed slave than regarding a killed freeman, in that kofra for a freeman worth a sella would be a mere sella, whereas payment for a killed slave is invariably 30 shkalim, so one would think that even a tum pays these 30 shkalim, ma'aliyah, from his choice property and not from the ox. Therefore, a pasuk is needed to absolve the owner from paying. A Abraisa is brought in support of Rabba's explanation. And point number three was taught in Abraisa. The pasuk says, Vehemis ish o isha, and it killed a man or woman, indicating a comparison between the two. Rabbi Akiva explains that since we already know from elsewhere that kofar is paid for killing a woman, the pasuk is teaching ma ish nezakav liyorshav, just as regarding a man, his damage payments are given to his heirs if he dies before they're paid, af isha nezakav liyorshav, so too regarding a woman, her damage payments are given to her heirs, not her husband. The Gemara objects that Rabbi Akiva holds a husband does inherit his wife, so why would he not inherit her damages as well? Reish Lakish explained that Rabbi Akiva referred specifically to kofar, which is only paid after her death. Therefore, it's roi, a mere potential asset. Veina bal notabal roi kebe mechuzchak, and the husband does not take in inheritance the potential assets of his wife's estate as he does from her possessed assets. The Gemara provides the source that kofar is not paid until actual death, and not as soon as the victim is assessed that he'll die. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Mem Beis, and our standard Simon is a mobster. A mobster. So here goes. When the ox running away from the mobsters who were trying to steal it charged into a pregnant woman, killing her and the fetus, and into a slave, the owner was putter on the fetus and the slave, and paid kofar for the woman to her yorshim, not her husband. Once again, in slow motion. When the ox running away from the mobsters, that must mean we're in Daf Mem Beis. When the ox running away from the mobsters who were trying to steal it charged into a pregnant woman, killing her and the fetus, which reminds us of Yosef Guli Darshan's Balashur Naki to teach Naki Midme Vlados. He's absolved from paying for offspring lost when his ox attacked a pregnant woman. So when the ox running away from the mobsters who were trying to steal it charged into a pregnant woman, killing her and the fetus, and into a slave, which reminds us, in another brace, Rabbi Akiva Darshan's Baal Shor Naki to teach Naki Midme Evet, he's absolved from payment of 30 shkalim for his ox's killing a slave. So when the ox running away from the mobsters who are trying to steal it charged into a pregnant woman, killing her and the fetus, and into a slave, the owner was putter on the fetus and the slave, and paid kofar for the woman to her yorshim, not her husband. Which reminds us, in a brisa was taught, the pasuk says, Vehemis ish o isha, and it killed a man or woman, indicating a comparison between the two. Rabbi Akiva explains that since we already know from elsewhere that kofar is paid for killing a woman, the pasuk is teaching ma ish nezakav liyorshav, just as regarding a man, his damage payments are given to his heirs if he dies before they're paid, af isha nezakav liyorshav, so too regarding a woman, her damage payments are given to her heirs, not her husband. So once again, when the ox running away from the mobsters who were trying to steal it charged into a pregnant woman, killing her and the fetus, and into a slave, the owner was putter on the fetus and the slave, and paid kofar for the woman to her yorshim, not her husband. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf lamed ches. So the simmer daf lamed ches is a davrolach liquid, and we often use chicken soup. So here goes. The non-Jew being covered with a bowl of chicken soup, that must be more in daf lamed ches, davrolach. The non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for his short tum goring a Jew's ox, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if a Jew's ox gores a Gentile's ox, he's putter, but in the reverse case, the Gentile pays full damages even for a tum. The Gemara asks that if Re'ehu excludes a Gentile from receiving damages from a Jew, he should also exempt him from paying damages to a Jew, and if he's not excluded, then a Jew should also have to pay his damages. Rabbi Avo answered based on a pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the Sheva Mitzvahs, which B'nai Noach accepted upon themselves, since they did not keep them, Amad Vehitim Ramonin Yisrael, he arose and released their money to Yisrael. So the non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for his shor, goring a Jew's ox, sat at the She'ena Mitzuvah Va'osa table while the Jew sat at the Mitzuvah Va'osa table, which reminds us, Rabbi Chinina said, Gadol HaMitzuvah Va'osa Yosem M'Misha'ena Mitzuvah Va'osa, greater is the one who acts to fulfill a law who is commanded to do so, the one who acts but was not commanded to do so. So the non-Jew being comforted with a bowl of chicken soup after learning he would have to pay full damages for a short tum, goring a Jew's ox, sat at the She'ena Mitzuvah Va'osa table while the Jew sat at the Mitzuvah Va'osa table and were being served by two daughters of a man who slept in a cave, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapech schar kol bria." HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold reward from any creature, afil schar sicha na, even reward for fine speech. For regarding Lot's older daughter who named her child from him, Moav, from father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, "Va'al tiskar b'mochama," do not incite war against Moav, implying that although they could not wage war against them, they could enact levies against them. But regarding Lot's younger daughter, who used the less explicit term, Ben Ami, son of my people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Va'al tiskar b'm." Klal, do not incite against them at all. Dafil angari l'tavid b'hu, meaning that even levies may not be enacted against them. Daf lamates. So the simmer daf lamates is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the simmon. So here goes. The mailman, that must be more in daf lamates, letter. The mailman who was appointed as an apotropos for an orphan who had a violent ox, which reminds the Gemara discusses if damages of an incompetent person's muad are collected from him or his apotropos. So the mailman who was appointed as an apotropos for an orphan who had a violent ox and was counting the days for him to become an adult and return the ox to him, which would remain a muad, which reminds us in a braisa about an owner who became incompetent or traveled abroad. Sumko said, it remains in its tum state, adshi idubo b'nei balim, until they testify about it before the owners. But the Chachamim say we appoint an apotropos and accept testimony about the oxen in his presence. If the owner returns to competency, Sumko says, Chazot Muso, it returns to its tum state. But Rav Yossi says, Harbechezkaso, it remains in its current muad state. Since Simcha is made clear in the second case that the ox did become a muad, the Gemara reinterprets his statement in the first case, Hari Hubit Mimuso. It remains in its entirety, meaning we do not reduce his ownership of it by collecting half damages from its body. So the mailman who was appointed as an apotropos for an orphan who had a violent ox and was counting the days for him to become an adult and return the ox to him, which would remain a muad, was notified that because he only did a shmir b'chus, he was chayv chasi nezek, because of tzad tamus b'mkomo omedes, which reminds us, in a brice Rabbi Yaakov said that the ox of an incompetent person pays half damages. Rav explains the case is a muad, which he guarded with a shmir b'chusa, an inferior guarding. Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yudu holds on Daf Mem Hey, Tzad Tamus Bim Koma Omedes, the Tam portion of a Muad remains in its place, such that half of the full payment retains the halakas of Tam. He further holds like Rabbi Yudu there, that although an inferior guarding does not exempt a Tam from half damages, it does exempt a Muad from full damages. Daf Mem, so the Siman Daf Mem relates to Mayim water, and we use a pool. So here goes. The apotropos watching Yosomim in the pool. Pool, that must be more on Daf Mem, Mayim. The apotropos watching Yosomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofir, which reminds us, a braisa teaches where an apotropos was appointed over orphan's oxen, kofir is not paid for a muad killing someone. This time holds kufr kapara, kofir payment is an atonement, and orphans who are minors need no atonement. The Gemara brings machlokas regarding whose value is paid in kofir, the value of the nizak or the mazik. So the apotropos watching Yosomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofir, was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tum, discovered the shore was a muad, indicating Roshus Einem Hashana, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, Shal Becheskas tum, if one borrowed an ox with the assumption it was a tum, the Nimsa muad, and it was found to be a muad, the owner pays half damages and the borrower pays half damages. The borrower pays half because he accepted it as a tum, and the second half is the owner's responsibility for not informing the borrower. The Gemara clarifies the cases where the borrower discerned initially the animal's violent nature. So the apotropos watching Yosomim in the pool, splashing and singing, they're not chayv and kofir, was confused when he saw the lifeguard who thought he borrowed a tum discover the shore was a muad, indicating Rishus ain't a mashane, while another ox the lifeguard borrowed that became a muad in his Rishus reverted to becoming a tum when returned to the owner, which reminds us, in the braisa I just mentioned, the animal remained a muad when it was borrowed, indicating the Tana holds Rishus Einem Hashana. The change in Rishus does not change the ox's status. The Gemara asks that the braisa's second case indicates the opposite. If it became muad in the borrower's house and he returned to the owner pays half damages and the borrower is completely exempt. This proves the animal reverts to tum status when it changes to the owner's rishus. Rabbi Yochanan says the prices are incompatible and reflect two different opinions. Two more answers are brought. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Siman Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must mean we're on Daf Mem Aleph, ma. The grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that her killer short tum became a muad after the three people had injured all died. After the third goring, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses how an ox can become a muad to kill people before being stoned. Since the tum is killed, how can it become a muad to kill people? Seven answers are offered and four remain, one being Kagon Shesikin L'Shlosha B'nei Adam, where it mortally injured three people who died after the third goring, rendering the ox a muad then and obligating its owner in kofir. So the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that a killer short tum became a muad after the three people had injured all died, after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely asr bahana, which reminds us of Bryce to discuss the laws of a shohan niskal, a condemned ox. Since it's stoned to death, it's obvious that it cannot be eaten, lacking shechita. So why does the Torah need to write lo ya'achil es psaro? Its flesh shall not be eaten. It teaches shim shechatu lachar shenigmar dino, if he shechted it after its sentence was finalized, but before it was stoned, asr ba'achila, it's forbidden in consumption. We learn from Baal Shor Naki that the shor is also asr bahana. So the grandma, who was saddened when she was informed that her killer short tum became a muad after the three people had injured all died after the third goring, and that she could no longer eat it, and it was now completely asr bahana, got some good news that she didn't have to pay chatzi kofir when another short tum of hers intended to kill an animal and inadvertently killed a Jew, which reminds us, in a braisa was taught, the pasuk says ubal shor naki, and the ox's owner is absolved from payment, which Rabbi Eliezer explains, naki mechazi kofer, the owner of a tam is absolved from paying half kofer. Rabbi Eliezer gave different explanations of the case, one being where the ox intended to kill an animal or Gentile, and inadvertently killed a Jew, for which it's not killed, but would pay kofer. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do we learn how an ox can become a mu'ud to kill people before being stoned, when even a tam is stoned if it kills someone? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number two, which daf do we have the case of a shor that is mu'ud to knock down alternating animals? That's on daf Amad Zayin. Good. Number three, which daf do we discuss what the din is in a case where one thought he was borrowing a tam, but in fact it was a mu'ud? That's on daf Mem. Good. Number four, which of the when the Rabbi Kiva darshan's baal shor naki to teach naki midmei evit, he's absolved from payment of 30 shkalim for his ox killing a slave? That's on daf Mem Beis. Good. Number five, which of the when a non-Jew whose shor tum damages a Jew's ox has to pay, whereas a Jew's ox that damages a non-Jew's ox does not have to pay? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number six, which of the when a woman's kofar is given to her heirs? That's on daf Membeis. Good. Number seven, which of the when all kesef mentioned in the Torah is kesef tzuri, and any kesef taught by the rabbis is kesef medina? That's on daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number eight, which of the when the yesomim are not chayv and kofar, and the Gemara brings a machlokas how kofar is evaluated according to the value of the nizak or the mazik? That's on daf Mem. Good. Number nine, which of the Rabbi Eliezer says we learn from the pasuk of baal shor naki that the owner of a tam is patur from paying chasi nezek? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number 10. Which of the when a woman's kofar is given to her heirs? That's on daf Mem Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhart from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.